For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from God, who alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in God at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before God, who is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances, they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no confidence in exhortation. No vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this. Power belongs to God. And to you, O Lord, belongs the love. For you repay all according to their work.
Our second reading today turns us also to the Hebrew Bible, to the Old Testament, to Amos, the prophet Amos, chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. Some confusion, some mystery in these images, and yet some pretty strong promises from God, should not the holy people follow more closely. And I believe this is a message for us today as well. So Amos 8, 1 through 12 on page 807 in the Hebrew Bible of your pew Bible. So follow along if you would like to. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account and everyone mourn who lives in it? And all of it rise like the Nile and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt. On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and they shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson today is Paul's writing to the Colossians. We'll be starting on Colossians 1, verses 15 to 28, which can be found on page 188 in your New Testament. If you ever wonder what Pauline theology was, this is a fine example of it. Hear these words. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his fleshly body through death. So as to the present, you're holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continually, securely establish and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I become its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. The mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may be present, everyone mature in Christ. The word of God for the people of God.
With that gorgeous song in our hearts, let us turn to Luke, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, according to Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As you may have noticed, we're following right through the Gospel of Luke and on to a story that has probably more value than it initially sounds. So hear the simple words and think about the deeper meaning. You can find it in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along in the New Testament on page 67. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Sometimes those simple stories are the best. When you look at the cover of your bulletin, and if you haven't, you're certainly welcome to do so right now. If you look at that picture, and hopefully you can tell, that's a hiker and her dog in front of a gorgeous stand of ponderosa pine trees. When you look at that picture, though, you may wonder what this can possibly have to do with today's scripture lesson. Well, when you consider that short story from the Gospel of Luke that I just read, you may well understand. There's an old expression, but I think it still has great value. You've probably heard it. You can't see the forest for the trees. Think about that. You can't see the forest for the trees. Martha illustrates a common situation that many of us find ourselves in sometimes. We often are so busy paying attention to the trees that we may actually ignore the forest. In other words, we often get so focused on the immediate task at hand that we may actually miss the big picture. A different way of describing this common human predicament can also be found in the work of Stephen J. Covey. Some of you probably remember a few years back the popular book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Anybody read that book? Yeah, many of us did. Well, if you go back to Covey's book and you look at habit number 3, you'll find this. Covey says, put first things first. Habit number 3, put first things first. Covey's point is that to be most effective, we should be clear about our priorities, and we should always attend to the most important things in our lives first and foremost. And so we come back to our friend Martha and her perhaps more focused sister Mary. When you look closely at this story, you'll understand that both Mary and Martha were doing important and valuable things. Martha was doing her duty as homemaker and host to Jesus and his followers. She was trying to put together a meal and make her guests comfortable. In short, she was attending to the very important element of any household, providing abundant and gracious hospitality. Have you ever found yourself in a similar situation, distracted by the myriad details of providing hospitality to your guests? Likewise, Mary was also doing something important. She understood fully who was in their midst, Jesus of Nazareth. And she was listening intently to his life-giving words, his teachings about God's kingdom and the promise of eternal life. Both Martha and Mary were attending to good and valuable opportunities, but Mary understood the big picture and realized that her focus on Jesus was the most important thing she could be doing right then and right there. And as it turned out, as you know, Jesus would not be among them much longer, and so Mary was absolutely right to pay a full attention to the Lord. Have you ever found yourself in this Martha situation? You can't see the forest for the trees. Put first things first. It's really very easy to focus on all the tasks that fill up your day, to be preoccupied with your to-do list, to want to accomplish something, many things during your day. Do you ever find yourself ignoring the person right in front of you? That person you love, that person who could really use your full attention. I learned something fairly profound at a leadership course a few years ago, and it's this. You can be efficient with things, but not with people. You can be efficient with things, but not with people. You can't see the forest for the trees. Put first things first. Do you ever find yourself so busy with the craziness of daily life that you don't have time for Jesus? If you need to understand the importance of an intimate relationship with Jesus, I want to go back and read part of the letter to the Colossians that Mark so well read. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and in him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. Listen to that. So that he may come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And it goes on. Doesn't this sound like someone who deserves your undivided attention, this Jesus of Nazareth? Life for all of us in the 21st century can be crazy busy, full of important things that require our focus, require our attention. The pace of this lifestyle can be frenetic. And I understand it completely because I often find myself overwhelmed with the busyness of this life. Does that sound familiar to you? So how do you make time for Jesus? If you already have a daily discipline of devotion to God, a regular time of prayer and Bible study, then more power to you, my brothers and sisters. But if you don't, let me make a simple suggestion. Carve out 15 minutes of your day at a time and in a place that you can commit to every day. Grab a copy of the Daily Word or a similar devotional resource and read just that day's entry. Take a copy of your church bulletin and read through next week's scripture lessons. Offer a short prayer to God, just like you'd talk to your best friend. Talk to God. And then for 5 minutes, be quiet and listen for God's reply. If you do this on a regular basis, I can guarantee that you'll find a more meaningful and more fulfilling relationship with the Lord. And I'm eager to help you if you have need suggestions for ways that you can strengthen and deepen your walk with Christ. Each of us has felt the pull of Martha's distractions, but don't you have time for Mary's focus? Don't you owe it to yourself to make the time to pay attention to Jesus? Don't you owe it to God to make the time to pay attention to Jesus? Shalom. Amen.